Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Cruising through a Wednesday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. As we try to cross our fingers and toes simultaneously, knowing that one Tre'Davious White is undecided about whether he will be playing football in 2020. The opt-out deadline for NFL players, 4 p.m. tomorrow, to opt out, whether in a voluntary basis or as a high-risk player, and that has to be corroborated by a medical physician. It sounds like Tre'Davious White would fall into the voluntary category, and he said that he still has to discuss things with his wife. And he's creeping up on 24 hours to make this decision. And he spoke to the media just last hour. And if you did not hear it in the first hour of the program, we do want to get to it again. So here is Tre'Davious White on weighing the decision of playing in 2020.
I got until tomorrow, but, you know, I just wanted to come in and kind of see, like, how it was going to go, like, how the season was going to go as far as, like, moving around in the locker room, just how is the day-to-day operation, and just talking it over with my old lady and just seeing what would be the best decision for my kids, too. And that playing a part in it, and just trying to see how them being up here and not being able to come to the games and move around, and my kids being able to go to school, and just being away from my family for such a long time without being able to do anything. So we just kind of just taking it down to the last day, and we're going to decide from there. So I'm still kind of undecided, honestly. You know, we have some of the best people in around the league, you know, just caring for us and really caring for our well-being. So obviously, they've been doing a great job, but, you know, just the aspect of, you know, guys still testing positive and having false positive tests, then coming back and test negatives, it's just those things that psychologically that plays a part in my thinking each and every day. Just, do I want to come in here and hopefully get my little 11-month-old baby sick, you know, just coming home and trying to love on him and picking him up? Do I want to risk that? I mean, because at the end of the day, like, no matter what, my family's going to come first, no matter what's going on, like how big of a season or what's going on. I'm always putting my kids first. So, I mean, it's just still that's weighing on me. And then my girl in the back of my mind, she's just having to stay home with the kids all day by herself, no family, can't go out, do anything. So those type of things weigh in on me. And then my family can't travel up to spend time with her and see the kids. So those are things that I think about each and every day and just trying to see if I'm willing to go the distance, go 4 or 5 months doing the same thing and just having my kids stuck in the house. Like, I don't know if I'm willing to do that. So I don't know. So I'm just going to pray about it and just see how it is. So I don't know, man.
So that's where Tre'Davious White stands, at least as of last hour. He's got some heavy thinking to do. He said he's going to pray on it and obviously discuss it with his wife, but that obviously has huge implications, Steve, on Buffalo's fortunes in 2020.
Yeah, you think about, as he said, my wife and kids come up here, they're going to be stuck in the house for 5 months, which means that's the kind of program that the Bills are going to want their guys to be on. They're going to want them to, listen, the wife and kids can't go out. If they're going to come up, you can spend time with them, but they got to stay in the house. They got to stay sequestered from the general population of Buffalo. And then, so when you put it in that regard, Brownie, if you're going to have your wife and kids come up here and be under that kind of limitations, at least requested by the club, to stay in and not go out. Will that be a better existence for them than staying at home away from you, being in wherever? Now, if Tredavious is in Baton Rouge or wherever his hometown is, I can't remember where exactly Tredavious lives in the offseason. Well,
he grew up in Shreveport.
Right.
I don't know that he lives there now.
But if it's any place else that has a better situation than that, where the kids can go out in general population, now some places, you know, it might change as well. It might be better for them to be in Buffalo in some regard with what New York State does with the COVID and how far along they are in this process rather than, say, in Arizona or in Texas or in Florida or whatever state you want to name. You know, the situation is fluid there as well. So even though they may be able to get out of the house if they're living in the South, that may change during the season as – you know, COVID waves, another wave of COVID or a different wave of COVID comes through their area. So how this all balances and what your family's life is going to look like here in Buffalo with you playing football and not being able to go out, or at home in your hometown with the freedoms that they're okay with, you know, or the freedoms that are allowed there. And whether you thought, because even if you don't play, you got to live somewhere. I mean, you got to live somewhere, and if you're going to be sequestered anyway, why not be sequestered and play football?
Right. And, I mean, let's just make this clear too, Steve. Let's just say that Tredavious White does choose to opt out. I am not going to complain about it. I'm not complaining about anybody's situation because I totally get it. We are in unprecedented times. There is a whole lot that we still do not know. And there are risks, the gravity of which we still do not know at this point. I mean,
right.
I saw a news report of a woman who had COVID recovered, but now she has reduced lung capacity. She claims to be having these episodes of what she describes as brain fog. A whole bunch of these unique symptoms that we really haven't heard much about. For people that recovered from COVID. I think people are so focused on the number of cases and the number of people getting sick, there's been less of a focus on the people that have fortunately recovered from the virus, but still aren't quite right.
Right.
And we remember, too, Von Miller, who had COVID, recovered, but he said it took him about a month before his lungs felt right when he was running around, and he was still working on his conditioning even at that point. And he has recently said he's still considering opting out, or at least has given it some extra thought. So, because you don't just get it once. There are
right,
people that have gotten it more than once, too.
There's this huge question mark about why and who and what different people's reactions are to the virus. Why do some people get it and don't ever show symptoms? Why do some people get it and end up on a ventilator? Why do some people die? What do some people have everlasting ramifications from it,
yeah,
or seemingly so? What's the deal, and how prevalent are all those long-term consequences to the general public and everybody who actually has it, and
let alone a professional athlete,
right? And how many people have had it, got better over it, and never knew at all? And I've never knew at all. Because that would fit some of these NFL players who tested positive when they got there, had no symptoms, came in, they were tested negative. The only reason they ever knew it was an issue was the test.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a bump in the road for them. So how many people has that happened to? You know, we and none of these questions have answers at this time. We
don't
have
hard concrete answers.
So it's hard to sit here and throw stones at these guys who are opting out. I don't know. You know, I have had young children. I don't have young children now, and I don't have to play pro football. I don't have to go out in the world and risk it, because it does seem like a risk when you look at the Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm,
and all the unknowns with that.
How about the Boston Red Sox player who developed a heart condition because of COVID? He had to finish playing this season. He had COVID, recovered, but he now has some kind of heart condition, a Red Sox player, and he's done for the year because of it. It's too great a risk to try to play with whatever he's dealing with right now. I'm sorry I don't have all the specifics on that, but I did see it a couple of days ago. We should move on to the other area of Tre'Davious White and his time with the Bills that will be of growing interest as days and months pass, and that is about getting him signed to a long-term contract as his rookie deal, which was extended with the fifth-year option, you know, continues to tick. Now, Brandon Bean was on WGR yesterday and said that we absolutely want him in the fold long-term. We don't want this guy walking. Hopefully, it works for both sides, and the contract can get taken care of in the at the right time. Obviously, if Trey White opts out, that would change the complexion of this completely because his contract would toll, which means it would be put on pause, and basically this year's contract would be pushed into next year, and the fifth-year option would be pushed into the following year, and so on and so forth. But here's what Trey White had to say on his contract and if he's willing to get a new deal done sooner rather than later.
Whenever the time is right, whenever, you know, when my agent and the Bills, they get together, and whenever the numbers are right, when I feel comfortable to for where it's at, for what I feel that I'm worth, then that's when it's going to be. But I'm not going to rush into anything and go into a premature thing because I'm not negotiating out of pretty much out of desperation because I'm good. I mean, I'm good at managing my money, and I'm good at doing the things that I need to do and being responsible with my finances. So I'm not hurting for money to jump at the first thing that's going to be out there. So I know what I'm worth, and I know what I feel like I bring to the table for the team. It's a team game, but I know that with what I bring to the game, I think I have a worth that's out there, and it's a market out there for the defensive back, and it's only going up. So I'll see what happens.
So that's where it stands with Tre'Davious. You have to believe, Steve, too, that with the cap in 2021 anticipated to be $175 million, I suppose it could move a little bit if the league gets those media rights deals done, the new upcoming media rights deals done, and knowing there are more games, more playoff games in terms of the inventory, they're saying that the cost of doing business with the NFL for the networks could go up as much as 50%. So that is something that could potentially push the cap up from where it is at 175 right now under the new amended agreement based on COVID. But if it's at 175, I don't know that Tre'Davious White or the Bills are going to be in any rush to get a new contract done.
Right. And, you know, if he opts out, that extends the window a whole year.
Right.
For Tre'Davious White to get done. But not for nothing, Brownie, it doesn't extend Josh Allen or Tremaine Edmonds.
Oh, they're all going to. So now you'd have three guys.
Yeah, then and Deion Dawkins, too. You have three guys or four guys all falling in the same contract.
Yeah, Dawkins is this year, as is right. Milano. White got pushed back a year because of the fifth-year option that was picked up on his contract. So he's kind of off with Edmonds and Allen away already, although you would anticipate that Edmonds would probably get the fifth-year option exercised as well to try to delay having to do that, and then you figure out Josh Allen probably sooner rather than later, knowing quarterback contracts are skyrocketing.
Right, but I think the league will bounce back financially. It's interesting, too. Think about the negotiations the league is going to go through with their television partners about rights deals, and it becomes apparent that the league is going to get an enormous amount of benefit by plowing through and having, if they can, which seems, you know, it's hard to get your mind around if they can get 16 game regular season schedule in, but that will give them some leverage with the television people saying, listen, we've got this product and it's coming and we're going to be able to get this thing on the field and it's going to be something you can depend on. So if you want it, it's going to cost you. It's the juggernaut of all television programming. It is the number one program. It's 19 of the top 21 programs every
for
single
ratings,
fall season
yeah.
for ratings. We're gonna it's gonna be our product. So if you want it, it's gonna cost you, no question. And perhaps from the television rights, or maybe the league as well, saying, listen, the rough year. If you want these rights, you can have them, but it's going to be a 3-year television rights deal, a 2-year television rights deal. It's not going to be a 15-year or 10-year like it has been. It's going to be a 3-year deal. Yeah. And when we come back, we're going to come back way stronger. Those negotiations could go, you know, around and around like that. But the league is going to spin this as positive as it can, and they can only do that if they get these games in.
That is right. No, there's no – yeah. I do think that even if it's a truncated season, though, they're still in pretty good shape because I think everybody anticipates at some point, you know, we're going to get out from under this and life will slowly get back to what we know as the old normal. The new right. normal we're dealing with now is something that's making it hard to see what the old normal was, but I think everybody believes we will get back there in due time. The final comment that we wanted to share with you from Trey White dealt on a far more positive subject, and that was the addition of Stephon Diggs and the look of the offense overall heading into 2020. Steph and Tre'Davious have kind of gone against each other, albeit in a walkthrough fashion, the first couple of days of on-field work at the facility. And I know Trey White is looking forward to going against Diggs in a live full-speed practice session because that's how he knows he gets better. But let's hear what Trey White's impressions are of the offense now that Stephon Diggs is in the fold.
Well, obviously, you know, he's a grade-A talent within himself. I mean, what he has the most deep yards or something like that, he's a crazy stat. So he's a guy that, you know, you can plug and play him no matter what. He's going to make your team better. So to have a transcendent talent like that to add with Smoke and Bees and the other guys that we have with Josh and then having a little motor too, and then the offensive line shuffling, and we having Mitch and Dion and those guys Spain. I mean, we have a – on paper, it looks great, you know, but we're going to continue – those guys are going to continue to have to work each and every day. But, I mean, just on paper, we look sexy. We look good, man. And hopefully, you know, I know that the offense is going to get – they're gonna get it down, and we're going to have some explosive players. It's going to be fun to watch. And then to have a guy like him to be able to go up against and practice one of the best in the league – he's not going to do anything but make me better. So I'm not going to see many more guys on Sunday that's better than him. So Monday through Friday in practice, that's where I get better at. So, you know, it's going to be good for both of us and both good for the offense and the defense. So a guy like that coming to our offense and plugging in, you could tell that he's going to buy into the culture that we're building, and hopefully we're going to have another great year.
On paper, we look sexy. What do you think of that, Steve?
It's true. We've heard that before. I think the Cleveland Browns were thinking that last year as well.
Yeah.
But I think this is a different scenario than it was in Cleveland last year because of the leadership and the continuity. Everything's – yeah, it's just a better situation than it was a year ago in Cleveland, even though I would think – I don't know. I would think that Cleveland's going to be better, but that's what we heard from Cleveland last year, that they look good on paper. They did. They've got a lot of – and they still do. But the reason I think I'm optimistic about the Bills rather in a different way than I was about Cleveland last year is this team has remained the same and gotten better, I guess is what I'm saying. There's some subtle and yet profound changes that happened with Cleveland last year in their run-up to the season that with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
This team seems to have topped off the tank, more so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I just think this is a culture and a team that is poised to take another step. And another step after a 10-win, one-and-done playoff season is winning a playoff game or winning the division and getting a home playoff game.
Trey White called Stephon Diggs a transcendent talent. Is it too early in Stephon Diggs' career to call him that?
Transcendent, maybe, yeah. He's certainly an elite player, I think. I think he's one of the top players in his position in the league. Certainly you can pick out some other guys around the league that are really good, but DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Mike Thomas down in New Orleans,
yeah.
You know, the guy, and the guys in Tampa Bay as well are putting together. There's guys around, Keenan Allen. And you start talking about those guys, it's a short list. Steph Diggs is on it.
Yeah.
And so that's – yeah, that's big, and that does change. Whenever you've got we all talk about the roster of the NFL, and Steph Diggs is on your team. Well, you got a depth chart on every team. When you put a guy in and he's at the top of the depth chart, that's a big addition. Big. And it doesn't happen every season for most teams. It happened for the Bills this season. After a team that went to the playoffs adds a player at a key position at the top of the depth chart, that's an enormous benefit.
All right, Steve and I have to take a break here. But when we come back, we are going to hear from Deion Dawkins, who had comments on the O-line's continuity, although it will have one subtraction in the form of John Feliciano. And we'll also get into an interesting piece put together by ESPN's Bill Barnwell, who projected future Hall of Famers for each of the 32 NFL teams. Who did he pick for the Bills? We'll discuss when Steve and I come back. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we've heard from Tre'Davious White so far today. We did hear a little from Deion Dawkins. And both of those players obviously optimistic about the 2020 campaign. The biggest news today, though, was Tre'Davious White did admit that he is undecided about playing in 2020. He has until 4 p.m. tomorrow, which is the league deadline, for players to opt out. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Andrew Brandt, the SI.com columnist and an expert on the business of sports. And we'll be talking with him about opt-outs, among other things, including the amended agreement between the league and the union amidst this COVID pandemic. But as far as Deion Dawkins goes, Steve, this is a guy that is quickly becoming one of the primary leaders on that front, along with Mitch Morse, I'd probably say. And
he
addressed the importance of continuity here on the offensive line. Maybe this season, maybe more than any other season, because of the COVID pandemic and the restrictions it's put on getting reps on the field, physical reps with your teammates. These guys essentially all played together last year, so he talks about the advantages of having that in their hip pocket.
Going into it, that is the biggest relief of it, just because we know what to expect. We are a step ahead in the playbook. We are a step ahead in getting that bondage feel where we don't have to rush around and try to play catch up of trying to get to know exactly the person who is next to one another. And I think that's where we're kind of in the plus, because OTAs, like, you do a lot of team bonding things. And because this is pretty much the same team, we are just a little bit in the plus for that, you know, area.
So he's right, Steve. I can't imagine where this offensive line would have been if what they had to fit together last year was taking place this year with literally no on-field practice time. Could you have imagined what that would have looked like?
Right, and last year they had the added degree of difficulty of all the injuries that happened on their interior offensive line. I mean, they had like three guys get hurt at the same time for like 3 weeks. So they had, but it was, you know, they had
Morris was in concussion protocol forever.
Right. But they had four preseason games to get through, and Spain had an ankle or an ankle, and somebody else had a hammy. So they had all these guys out, and they were all guys that they thought were going to be plugged in and starting, and they couldn't practice together or play together. So because of all of that, you know, they were behind the eight ball last year. But think about doing that when they haven't even sat – they can't even sit next to each other.
That's what the Jets are doing.
Oh, yeah.
They totally revamped. They pulled a 2019 Bills move on the offensive line. They've completely revamped their offensive line this year, and they've got no practice time on the field. I mean, if you look at the Bills offensive line last year, they did miss time in training camp, as you mentioned, and even in the spring to a certain extent with one guy out here, one guy out there. By the time they got all their guys lined up and playing on a consistent basis, I think you could make the argument that they really didn't hit their stride until about week six or so as a unit, like executing consistently, getting a consistent, you know, winning battles consistently at the line of scrimmage. That really didn't manifest itself on a noticeable, consistent basis until about week six. Now picture the New York Jets trying to do the same thing and fitting all that together with no reps on the field until next week. I mean, they may not have that right until they're halfway through the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care if they ever get it right, to be honest with you. Plus the fact,
more monumental task.
Plus the fact they're doing it completely backwards. I mean, they should have done that last year, and they should never have signed a running back for $14 million a year. The only good thing they've done is signed C.J. Mosley. Now he's there. They signed him a year ago. He played played one game, and now he's opted out for this year. Yeah. I mean, the Jets are
Jiminy Christmas.
Not only are they doing dumb stuff, they got bad luck to go along with it. Mm-hmm. That is just so delicious.
I don't know. I don't know who made a deal with the devil for that franchise, but they are paying for it now.
Oh my gosh, the deal came due, didn't it? Whose nickname was the president, Jamal Adams. He's called the president because he's a real president. He's a leader, right? That's why Jamal Adams got that nickname. That guy was the man in that locker room, and he got there quick. He is the dude. And he wants out. He sees dysfunction.
Yeah.
He sees it at the top. He sees it at the head coaching level. They've had switched general managers on him. He's like, man, I'm out. That is just unbelievable for that franchise that happened. And remember, 2 years ago, Brownie, or 3 years ago, they were in the exact position that the Buffalo Bills were in. Identical. Both looking for a quarterback. Both were going to have lots of cap money to spend in that quarterback's second year in his first off season. Mm-hmm. And one team got it right, seems to have gotten it right, and the other team is
floundering.
Total mess.
Yeah. So the Bills certainly, their fortunes are enhanced even in this pandemic like season with the continuity they have up front. There will be one absence, however. And that will be John Feliciano, who unfortunately tore his pectoral muscle doing some final last-minute training before reporting to camp. This literally happened a day or two before he reported during some weightlifting routines where he pulled his pectoral muscle that required surgery. So Deion Dawkins addressed the loss of emotional leader John Feliciano.
It's extremely sad that John got hurt working out. But as we all know, that is a part of football. You know, things happen off of the field and things happen on. John was a true piece to our line, but I think that the GM and coach and McDermott did a great job last year creating depth. And because John got hurt, it's not like a ultimate panic, you know. And we care, we love him. John is going to come back stronger and better than ever, but it's time to push forward.
Yeah. What else can you do? Right?
That's the only normal thing that's going on right now is the fact that you got to keep going. It's within your locker room, within your position group. You know, it's the next man up mentality, all of that stuff. And he's right. You don't stop, you know, these guys don't stop loving John Feliciano because he's not there with him, but the simple fact of the matter is they need to envelop and wrap their arms around the next guy that's going to be taking that right guard spot. Right now it may be Brian Winters, but nevertheless, that's what has to be done as the season rolls on.
Yeah. Now, I want to turn the page here because we mentioned this before we went to break, but ESPN's Bill Barnwell, who we've had on the show, and he does a lot of interesting pieces for ESPN.com, and most recently, he did a projection on future Hall of Famers for each NFL club, basically pulling one active player from every NFL roster and saying, this guy's got the best odds on this team to be a future Hall of Fame player. And
right.
I guess it's somewhat ironic that, you know, amidst this news that Tre'Davious White has not yet decided on whether he's definitively playing here in 2020, that the choice that Bill Barnwell made for the Bills was Tre'Davious White, which I totally get the choice. He puts Tre'Davious's odds at 40 to 69%. I'd really know how he worked the math on this. I'd love to know, because
what are the
variables?
We're
talking about
there,
a guy who's not even going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame for what, 12, 15 years?
Yeah.
And yet here we are trying to make odds on it. I guess this is what you do when training camp's delayed amidst a pandemic. You try to find unique ways to talk about current players. So I'll just read this quickly, Steve, and you tell me how this grabs you. So his write-up for Tre'Davious White is as follows. White got his just due last season, was named a first-team All-Pro while tying for the league lead in interceptions. The former LSU corner was already a star on the field after his 2018 campaign, but getting that first nod is usually tougher than getting invited back. Of the nine corners who have debuted since the NFL-AFL merger and made the Hall of Fame, just two had been a first-team All-Pro by their third season, which puts White in good company alongside Rod Woodson and a guy who eventually became a safety, Ronnie Lott, who was corner early in his career. So was Rod Woodson, for that matter, who went to safety as well.
Right.
How does that grab you at having that kind of company?
That is how hard it is to be an All-Pro at corner. There's only two of them in the whole league. And that, to be that guy
by their third season, right?
Right. And to be no matter what year it is. So next year, the All-Pro candidates are going to be, it's going to start with Stephon Gilmore and Tre'Davious White. Is anybody playing better than they are? It's close, maybe. Yeah. So that's going to be the question. It starts with those two. They don't have to bust into the conversation anymore. Tre'Davious White's going to have another good year. And this is a team that's going to play in some marquee games against some marquee teams against some very elite quarterbacks. Yeah. And if Tre'Davious White plays well in that scenario, that's it. It's a rubber stamp now.
Yeah. In addition to naming a player that he felt had the best odds to make the Hall of Fame on the active roster of each of the 32 NFL clubs, he also had an honorable mention, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Right.
And the second player he listed for the Bills was Tremaine Edmonds. And I'm just going to read you an interesting line from this one. So he said, of the seven players eligible for the Hall of Fame who made it to the Pro Bowl in their age 21 campaign, six of them are in the Hall of Fame. Now, he mentions this because obviously Tremaine made the Pro Bowl last year in his age 21 season. Five of the six of them, however, are running backs. Randy Moss is the only non-running back in that group. And then he makes another valid point here, Barnwell does. He says, inside linebackers generally need to become defensive player of the year candidates and earn multiple first-team All-Pro appearances to get serious consideration for Canton. But Edmonds is off to a great start.
Yeah, that's a long hill to climb right there.
Yeah.
That's a long hill to climb.
But he's super young.
There's
a lot of runway in front of Tremaine Edmonds right now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this too. I think more and more as time goes on, not for nothing, but as time goes on, guys who play for a long time get considered because the players who play with them and against them have so much respect for them that the voters hear it. A guy who plays 17 years, even if he was just in the top third or top 10 of his position and was never dominant for those 17 years. 17 years is an eternity. And that is the most, for most NFL players, longevity is the most quintessential respect getter of anything about your career. Yeah. Your ability to hang in there for that long is an enormous
feather in your cap,
yeah, for most players. So I think when a player does play for a long time, like Tremaine Edmonds could play for a long time, the players he played with and against and were in the league in his career will give him shout outs to get considered for the Hall of Fame. And Hall of Fame voters call those guys aggregators. Like Frank Gore was called by an aggregator by some people because he's
he's been around so long, he's rolled up numbers that nobody
his
else
career
can touch.
Numbers. Yeah, his career numbers are staggering and in very elite company, but he's played for a lot longer than some of those guys did. So that's the knock against guys like that. But nevertheless, they are in the conversation in a big, big way because of the length of their careers.
And that's why it will be so compelling to watch the careers of these two young Bills cornerstone players, Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds. All right, this one's on me. I have grossly neglected the tweet sheet. We will get to it in the next segment because we do want to hear what your thoughts are on where the Bills' mindset should be for 2020. Should they stay humble and hungry? Should they puff out their chest? Or should they just stick to the process? We'll get your thoughts on that next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health here on Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you for what we in the business like to call a shorty, a short segment here, but we did want to get to the tweet sheet as you were weighing in on what you think the Bills' mindset should be entering the 2020 season. Puff out your chest, stay hungry and humble, or respect the process. And we begin with one of our frequent contributors, Tiffany, who says, until you win playoff games, the mindset should be humble and hungry. I can't see a team led by Coach McDermott being anything but a group of professionals putting in the work necessary to achieve their ultimate goal, the 2020 Super Bowl champs. You buying that one?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and on surface it's true. But staying humble and hungry, it's great, and it should be your mantra always, and maybe even in life, right? But it's hard to do that when the expectations are so high for your team. You know you're a good football team. You got to play like it. In fact, in some ways, there should be some pressure on these guys internally because now they've got to live up to what they've already done, and they've got to continue to do it. It's easy enough to answer questions, but it's not so easy to set a new bar for excellence, and that's what these guys are kind of in the position to do. It's harder to raise the bar rather than just live up to no expectations.
Ronnie has a little bit different view. He says, the thing is, they aren't the underdog anymore. Time to embrace being the hunted and take pride in destroying enemies that try to move in on their territory. Someone's kind of putting a warlike reference to this thing here. Ronnie might have had an extra cup of coffee today.
Yeah, that's, and it's there too, no question. You got to know that you're going to be a team that teams are not going to just go down the list now and say, okay, that's a W, that's a W, that's a W. You go to Buffalo, yeah, we'll win there. That kind of, teams aren't doing that so much anymore. This is a club that you're not going to be the underdog. Now, certainly you might be when you go to San Francisco or when you take on Seattle or go to Pittsburgh or what
Kansas
have you.
Kansas
City coming in, you may be underdogs, but for a lot of times you're going to it's going to be at least a pick'em game in some of these games. You're not going to be an underdog, and these are so you got to be ready to, you know, to take what you can get out of where you're at and use it for. Use it for motivation, and you're not going to have that thing where everybody thinks we stink, because nobody thinks you stink anymore. And that's hard to dredge that up when it doesn't exist.
Time for one more. Nick is a proof is in the pudding kind of guy. He's saying, stay humble. We're set up great, but none of it will matter if we don't follow through on the field. Like Bean says, it's still the Patriots division until we actually go out there and beat them. The Browns were basically crowned champions last offseason, and look what happened there. You can't argue with that.
Sure, we've talked about it. We've talked about it. It's easy enough to to beat your chest and listen to how many good things people say about you in the off season, but you got to put up now. And I think the Bills are ready to do that. It's been their mantra to, and I don't want to overstate it, but this is a coaching staff that has hit on a lot of cylinders to get this team to where it is. Mm-hmm. The job they did 2 years ago with a team that a lot of people accused them of tanking a week before the season started. They traded away a couple of players. Robert Woods went out on free agency. They lost, they lost some guys. They traded Matt Darby, not Matt Darby,
Ronald Darby.
Sammy Watkins. They did all those moves, and people said, oh, they're tanking. They stink. Look at their roster. And yet they go to the playoffs. That's big. It's very big. And because of that, I got a lot of faith in this coaching staff. They won six games in 2018 with a rookie quarterback from Wyoming who, you know, was trying to – they were trying to teach that he couldn't lift the planet by himself, right?
Yeah.
Had a long way to go with a roster that was decimated and an offensive line that was a mess. So they won six games with that group, and they didn't get enough credit for that. And then, of course, they did what they did last year. This is a coaching staff that gets the most out of its players. And I think – so I think this – our Twitter poll, I've got quite a bit of faith that this coaching staff is going to handle this group and their mentality exactly the way that it should be handled.
So thanks for contributing on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Time for Steve and I to step aside, but when we come back, we will have the SI.com weekly columnist, the host of the Business of Sports podcast. He knows anything and everything about the world of business in professional sports. One Andrew Brandt will join us talking opt-ins, opt-outs, and a whole bunch of stuff amidst this COVID pandemic that the league and the union have had to iron out. That's all coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health here on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.